Imagine a wind turbine in your head. What does it look like? It's probably a tall white tower with three long blades spinning around a horizontal axis. The classic horizontal axis wind turbine, or HAWT. That design is so standard now, it's hard to imagine anything else. And that's for pretty good reasons. Modern wind turbines have had decades of incremental improvements and engineering refinement that have made them one of the cheapest sources of electricity in the world. And yet, one company is daring to throw all that engineering in the bin and start with a blank piece of paper. I'm Rosie Barnes, founder of Powderlake Consulting, where we advise on clean energy technologies, helping startups with development and investors with assessing the landscape. Welcome to Engineering with Rosie. I'm standing on the pier in Fiskebäckskil, Sweden, where just over the other side of the fjord, there is a dramatically different kind of wind turbine floating in the water. Seatwell is developing a floating vertical axis wind turbine, or VAWT, a completely different shape to most modern wind turbines, with blades that spin around a vertical shaft, more like a giant egg beater or a bike pedal than a propeller. It's a design that was tried and then mostly abandoned decades ago. So why are they bringing it back now? It's because floating wind could change the rules of the game. Most of today's offshore wind is fixed bottom, and that requires huge steel monopiles or jackets to anchor turbines to the seafloor. But in deeper waters, that gets expensive fast. As I've mentioned in a previous video, while floating wind is currently way more expensive than fixed bottom, eventually it could end up being cheaper than fixed bottom because the steel usage should be less and there's opportunities to simplify installation and maintenance. Currently, fixed bottom offshore wind turbines look just like onshore ones, though bigger. And the few floating wind farms also use a standard turbine design on top of a floating structure of some kind. But the floating environment is vastly different to the conditions that onshore wind turbines evolved in, and those huge top-heavy structures aren't particularly suitable for floating. I've said in several earlier videos that a vertical axis design could be a much better match for floating systems. For starters, vertical axis wind turbines can put the heavy equipment at the bottom, giving them a low center of gravity, which helps with stability, a major benefit for floated platforms. And with the generator and gearboxes down near the waterline instead of up top of a tower, installation and maintenance becomes much simpler and doesn't require as many specialized vessels. I visited the Seatwell office in Gothenburg, where I met CEO Johan Sandberg and Head of Product Development Jonas Bergström to tell me all about Seatwell. I wanted to know, what is the core idea behind Seatwell? What problems are they trying to solve in the offshore wind sector? They explained how the system works and talked me through their new design. One of the first things that Seatwell did was to build a small prototype, mostly from off-the-shelf components, so they could quickly get it in the water and start learning if their vision could ever become a reality. Their 20 kilowatt turbine has been in the water for a decade already. It's just a few hundred meters from here, and today Jonas is taking me out there to see it up close. Let's go take a look.
So this is our S1 turbine. This was the first turbine that Seatwell ever installed, and it was installed in 2015. And it was installed by a very small team, so we were basically three at the time, head engineer, the project leader, and the CEO. And it's 30 kilowatts. It's based on a land-based turbine, so basically we have taken that rotor from a land-based turbine and placed it on our structure.
So somebody else's vertical axis wind turbine design.
Indeed. You can see the hub there where the struts are connected, so that's where the generators were placed on that kind of a turbine. So we have extended this with the shaft, and then that shaft is connected to the substructure and testing out this rotating spar, basically. And inside the generator housing, we have access to all three generators, and then those generators are exporting energy into the land, actually, which is then connected to the yard. So it's actually grid connected.
Obviously, it's not turning today.
It's not much wind today.
No, we've got beautiful glassy water, which is great because otherwise I'd be throwing up over the side of the boat. The worst seasickness. Can you tell me through what have you learned? Like, what tests did you do and what have you learned from having this small prototype?
We learned that we can simplify a lot of things. So, like, if you look at our new models, they do not have these buoy systems. You can see on the S2, we still have buoy systems to relieve the spar from the weight of the mooring. We also had lever arm on this structure. It was because we were a little bit worried about the rotating force from the rotor. We thought that would be higher than it actually was. So that is something that we've been learning as well.
And so you bought this rotor off the shelf and the generator off the shelf. So what changes have you made since then? Aerodynamic design and your own structural design?
So the rotor is now designed by us, and we are simulating the full structure. When you're going big, you can't just go strong. You need to be smart about it. I mean, this is a simplistic way of doing it, utilizing standardized components. That was something that was a great success.
How about the aerodynamics? Is there anything that you've learned about the aerodynamics? Did it perform the way that you've expected? Like, have you put together a power curve from this this little guy?
So when we simulate it in our environment, when we're doing the hydrodynamic part, and we're taking the information that we have from the turbine manufacturer, we actually get quite matching results.
Okay, so this was 10 years ago. What was the next step?
The next step was to build the S2. We utilized this turbine to showcase energy distributing companies. Okay, what would it take for us to be able to sell this to you? And then the answer was, well, nowadays you need to get up to at least megawatt scale. We see now that you can do it, but you need to now show that you can produce energy and that you get a sustainable level of cost of energy. And then we had S2, that was our next prototype of, this is how much energy we're going to be producing. This is actually working.
And then what's next after that? What do you see, like, the scale of the, you know, commercially viable unit when you're eventually doing serial production? What size will it be?
Yeah, so we have identified a couple of markets. So we have the catalyst markets, which can be like water injecting for oil and gas, or electrification of oil and gas, or remote islands, fish farms. And for these, we need smaller turbines in some places. So we have a very small turbine that can provide off-grid energy, trickle charge applications. Or we have the large unit, which is called S3 at the moment, which goes all the way up to 6 megawatts. And this is something that we can utilize for electrification of oil and gas platforms, for example.
The purpose to enable floating wind power wherever it is needed is kind of saying that we want to get away from this this track that we're on today, which is all about scale is the answer. You know, we have to have this huge scale, the huge industrialization, before we're going to reach an acceptable cost of energy. So that's something we have really kept in our minds when we have this design philosophy, is to try and remove the barriers to build floating offshore wind and remove the need for huge scale, the gigawatt plus scale projects. So we want to be able to sort of offer a product to the market, even if you only need 10 or 12 or 15 megawatt or even 1 megawatt. So that's kind of what we want to say with this purpose, to enable floating wind wherever it is needed. The concept of Seatwell is all about, it is the vertical axis turbine, where you have integrated the tower and the spar foundation into sort of one rotating shaft structure. So the fact that you have really lowered the center of gravity means that you have less bending forces in the structure, and you have therefore less steel and therefore less cost. Yeah, so basically the Seatwell concept is a vertical axis turbine with a tower in the middle, or the rotating shaft, you can say, the struts that holds the blades, and obviously then the vertical blades. The tower is then extending through the generator house, where all the power is generated. These are where the generators are located, and the gearboxes and so forth. And then it extends down to the spar, which is the floating foundation. The spar and the whole structure is obviously then kept vertical in the water with ballast at the bottom of the foundation. And the mooring lines you can see here. So this is what is keeping the whole turbine stationary, where it is moored to the seabed. And it's also what's keeping this one from rotating. The big change of our design that we are kind of launching now in Q2 of 2025 is the fact that we are changing the rotor from a three-bladed design to a two-bladed design. And this has a lot of benefits.
especially from an installation point of view, where the turbine is actually becoming a two-dimensional structure. We can therefore basically assemble the turbine lying down like this, the rotor, and put this all together, then attach it to the spar, and then we can upend it on the site. So you will not only have a lower weight of the rotor, obviously with only two blades, it will be less weight, but it's also the fact that you can install it a whole lot easier. The three-bladed turbine will always have a lot of forces on it if you have storms. So when you have cutouts because of high winds, there will be a lot of forces into the rotor with the three-bladed design. With this design, you can obviously direct the blades against the wind and it will catch much less energy. So the extreme loads on this structure is actually going to be quite a lot lower than on the three-bladed structure.
It's all carbon fiber or composite?
The struts in the blade is composite. These are our steel and monopile steel.
Yeah, so that's a whole lot of advantages of the CETAL system, vertical axis design. But obviously the big disadvantage with vertical axis is that the efficiency is lower compared to horizontal axis. So can you tell me about what are the implications of that?
Yeah, and when you talk about efficiency, you refer to the power coefficient of a vertical axis turbine versus a horizontal axis turbine. And we do have lower. So for the three-bladed turbine, we are at about 0.42. Yeah, compared to the horizontal axis, which is above the 0.5. It is also to be referred to the projected area that you have, and the area of a rectangle is larger than it is for a circle. So, I mean, for the same height of the turbine, you actually have quite similar energy output, at least aerodynamical output. Actually, when we go down to the two-bladed turbine, we lower the solidity, but we get more resistance to turbulence. So we can actually get a better power curve.
That 42%, is that something that you have measured or is it at this stage projected?
It's projected. And but we do include tip losses, losses from our struts and the junction losses from our turbine. So it should be all aerodynamic effects included.
How close can you pack them together?
It is a very interesting question. And when it comes to vertical axis turbines, towards horizontal axis turbines, is that we believe that we have a quicker wake recovery. So that puts you so that you can place them closer. If you have a smaller amount of turbine, you can put them very, very close to each other and induce that you are having a certain defined projected area so that you can actually enhance the power output from the turbines.
I've really enjoyed learning more about CETWL and their development efforts. The floating offshore environment is so different to onshore wind, it really does make sense that a different kind of turbine could work best in that environment. And I'm really glad to see that there are people trying to find a better way. CETWL has some good engineering behind every design decision they've made. And now I'm really looking forward to seeing whether CETWL can turn that theoretical promise into something that works in the real world. They've got plans for larger installations in the near future with their 1 megawatt S2 designed and mostly built, just waiting for the right opportunity to put it in the water. And when that happens, there will obviously be a lot of validation and learning possible. But even in the meantime, as they wait to put that in the water, they're refining the design and tackling some of the big challenges that held vertical axis turbines back in the past. What I'd really like to see next is some validation of their aerodynamic performance especially. I would have thought they could still learn a lot more from putting a scale model into a big wind tunnel and or testing a model onshore where it's much cheaper to install and to make changes if needed. Many early vertical axis turbines failed because of unexpected aerodynamic loads and fatigue failures in the structure. So getting solid test data to validate simulations is going to be crucial to ensure that there aren't too many surprises by the time that they get their megawatt scale turbines into the water. Of course, they might already be working on all of that. They've been super open with me, but understandably, they haven't shared their full testing activities. Either way, I'm really excited to see a company that's challenging assumptions in the wind industry and exploring whether there's a better way to do floating offshore wind.
I've got a quick update since we filmed. Just 4 days after my visit, C12 was awarded a 15 million euro Horizon Europe grant for innovative floating wind turbine structures. It's a huge milestone for the company and one that's put them in a very different position now compared to when I visited. In particular, their progress towards getting a new turbine in the water should be much easier now. It's going to be really interesting to see how this funding accelerates development and whether it helps validate the concept at a commercial scale.
Thanks so much to C12 for letting me visit, for their openness, and to Chalmers University for hosting my Swedish trip, and to the Engineering with Rosie Patreon team for supporting all of the videos on this channel. You can join us here, and we would love to welcome you. And thanks to you for watching. I'll see you in the next video.